You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
To 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And again, we're finishing up on this text out of Peter, talking about building the great house of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 4, it says, "As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you," verse 9, "but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the people of God. I thank you for the church of the living God. I thank you for the people of God who are part of Heights Church. I thank you for the people of God who are part of the church in Liberia. Lord, we are grateful that through your Spirit, it is not separate churches here and there, but it is the body of Christ that works together. And we're grateful for what you are doing in Columbia Heights. We're grateful for what you are doing in Liberia. We are grateful for what you are doing in Estonia. We are grateful for what you are doing in Azerbaijan. It is a great church. It is a beautiful church. And we are part of what the great house of God is doing in this world. Lord, I pray, anoint us for the task that is ahead and bring this word powerfully into our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are at the end of one part of our journey, and we are into the next part of our journey. We will, again, close out this place next Sunday. And Pastor Sherman Bouchot is going to be here. We're going to have a special service. Pastor Bouchot pastored here in the 80s and has been a good friend of our church this entire time. And I asked him to come and be a part of this transition. And then we've closed the lease agreement on 556. And so September 1st, we will have that space. So we own the 560 building on 560 40th Avenue. And then we're leasing the space right next door at 556. And then so it has a basement. So what we want to do is move the storage out from our storage unit into that basement. So from the 1st to the 8th, if we can get it done, it will save us some rent on the storage unit. So please let us know. But then there are other things, like there's some touch-up painting that needs to be done. If you could help me with that, that would be great before we get to the service. So our first service there will be on September 13th. We'll just move from here, just right over to there, and we'll have our worship space for the adults in 556, and we'll have the worship space for the kids in 560. And we'll have so many things that we just need you to be a part of, and for all of us to be active, because we are in a new day. And we are part of what God is doing in building his great house in Columbia Heights. And friends, we are in a particular time period that I don't want us to take lightly. We are in a place where we are transitioning. And we really, truly need to understand this is a sacred, holy time for us. This is a move that God has brought us to, and it's a powerful, powerful time. And our calling is great, and we're called through all of this to be people of the presence. We are called to be where His presence is. In Exodus 33:15, it says this, Moses said to the Lord, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Then our cry needs to be the cry of Moses, that we cry out in our hearts to know Him and to know when His presence moves and to know that He has indeed called us. And over the past year, in just a little over a year, the Lord has led us through all of this process to a place where we're transitioning into something incredibly new. And we are here at the water's edge for a whole new mission. And we are entering a new day. And just as Israel entered into a new paradigm, our church is stepping into a brand new phase. When Israel left wandering the wilderness and stepped into the promised land, they had to switch mentality. It went from the provision of manna every day to they had to take possession of the land and cultivate the land. They had to switch how they did business. And we are needing that new paradigm in our lives. And we talked about some of those things that we've talked about in transition. And last week we mentioned a word. It was missional. One of the key words was missional. We are with people and we are with God. We're not about the task of inviting people to church alone and hoping that that's good enough. We are in the process of understanding we want to be on the journey with people along the way. Last week we had our wedding for Jared and Emma. They got married, and so our family was in town, and our oldest son Joshua and his wife Lisa were here, and they live in Alabama, and they were talking to us about, you know, everything in the South is a church language. And so it just revolves around church. So you meet neighbors and you meet people, and one of the things is just kind of just in the course of the conversation is you invite them to church, just the way it goes. And he said, now they'll never come, but they'll talk about it. You know, they're polite, but they won't come. But they were telling me that there's this one couple that they've become friends with. And so along the way in the conversation was the invitation. Hey, let me tell you about our church, and we have these services, and would you like to come? And the couple said to them, well, that's kind of not our thing. To which Joshua and Lisa were like, yes, somebody who's honest, you know, and it turns out they were atheists. And because Joshua and Lisa loved their honesty, they've stayed friends with them. And now this couple is in this friendship with Joshua and Lisa. And guess what? While they're not completely following the Lord, because Joshua and Lisa are with them, they are helping this couple get on the way to a journey with Jesus as well. And that's what we're called to do. It's not about just inviting them to church and hope they show up. It's to be on the journey with them and see what is going on and seeing what the Spirit will do. And to do that, we have to be strong at the core of who we are. And as we walk in this, our goal is to have everyone equipped. And we're beginning a discipleship ministry model this fall called Multiply. And the goal is to have everyone in either a one-to-one relationship, discipleship relationship, or in a small group discipleship relationship. And I've asked Pastor Vicky to head this up so that through that, she'll get all the leaders, all the staff and board as part of that. And then we want to get people connected through either groups or one-on-one, encouraging everyone to get attached in some way so that during the week, So with Multiply, it's online, and there's an app, and we'll have some handouts, and there's a book you can buy. There's just all kinds of ways to get at this. This is why this is a really good, robust discipleship tool. So that on Sunday, we'll talk about what is ahead with the week in discipleship. The Bible texts you should be reading, the subjects of discipleship and walking with Christ that we're going to be in. And then during the week, we want you to have one other touch in some way with someone in the church. Or someone who's on the journey with Christ and maybe not attached to the church yet. But you say, hey, I think my neighbor would really get into this and I'm going to meet with them. Okay, but some way that you're going to have what we're talking about in church, get into the material that we'll talk about that you can get online or in an app or in a book. And then during the week, from Sunday to Sunday, connect either with that small group or with someone else and talk about journeying with Christ together. It can be with your family. You can use it as a family devotion. It can be a couple's devotion. It could be any kind of a way. But we want everyone to be involved with this, to understand that I have the opportunity to not only grow in my own faith, but help someone else grow in their faith, and then get comfortable with that, to know that there's a way that I can indeed help someone grow in Christ. And so we want everyone involved. That's our goal, to have everyone involved with that. And so Pastor Vicky's going to head that up. And then along the way, we're going to have a teaching rotation to look at the different angles and hear different voices of how discipleship is going to be worked out. Multiply will equip us in the Word. It will challenge us to pray, and it will call on us to learn from each other. And we will continue to become powerful disciples. We will be people of the presence. Being missional will connect us with people more. And when we get the coffee shop going, the coffee shop will be that kind of another avenue that will be that meeting space for people, a meeting ground. Being missional doesn't mean we're consumed into a culture. It means that we are grounded firmly in God. And this is the word I really think the Lord wants to sink into our hearts right now. We have talked seriously over the past several years, and especially in the past year, about transformational thinking and understanding the serious cultural shifts that have gone on in our nation. And I want to simply put a phrase to it so that we can gather around that phrase from here forward. And what we are called to be as all people, doesn't matter your age or anything, we are called to be a Daniel generation. This is the task of the American church now, to be a Daniel generation. We have shifted from a culture that it is so easy to be a Christian in to a culture that will have a hostility toward your stand in Christ. And we need the example of Daniel and Esther and Joseph out of the Old Testament to understand how you can live vibrantly in your faith and bless the culture you're in. And we need to get that wrapped into our being and make it part of our DNA. This is the Daniel generation for the American church. This is the generation where we will finally learn from Daniel and Joseph and Esther. It is the place where we understand we're living in hostile territory and we can still live godly lives while blessing those around us. We don't curse, we bless. And we need to have that firmly in us. Daniel lived in a culture that had ripped away all of his practices. But that didn't rip away who Daniel was in God. And we have to have that understanding in our lives. Daniel held firm to the Lord and lived to the glory of God. And that means for the American church, we need to be more rooted than ever in the presence of God. It's not about just having the right thing to say or the right philosophical argument. It's that we are so rooted in the presence of God that whatever is coming at us, we will know before it gets to us. The Spirit will say to us, this is what's coming. We will be people of discernment, people of wisdom, and people with a prophetic voice. The church in America has to move from pathetic to the prophetic. And we have got to get on this. And God is calling us to live out His kingdom presence in Columbia Heights, and it is time. We are living stones, as Peter puts it. We are being built up into the spiritual house of God. And my deepest prayer right now is for us to be truly the living presence of God in Columbia Heights. I pray for those moments where we can be in conversation with someone, whether it's at a workplace or in the neighborhood or in a place of business, and suddenly the Spirit of God shows up. And there can be a word that the Spirit would give to us, or an action that the Spirit wants us to take, or a prayer that the Spirit wants us to pray. And all of a sudden, it just becomes obvious the Spirit wants to do something right here, right now, through you. And whatever that is, that it will be so abundantly obvious that it becomes this natural outflow because we're in the presence of God. And it's nothing that has to be out of character or anything, but it's simply just an opportunity for us to truly carry the presence of God into our community, and we see powerful things happen. This is my prayer. My prayer is that we see such a presence of God carried with us that there will be the opportunities, like in the book of Acts, in chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, when Peter's walking down the street and just his shadow touching people. Peter didn't have to stop and have a long prayer meeting. He just kept right on moving. But the presence of Jesus was so real in him that those around him were profoundly affected. And I don't think it's anything that Peter paid a lot of attention to. Because if he had, he'd never get a half a block in a day, you know. But he just keeps walking, and just that opportunity for his shadow to touch someone, healing would flow, deliverance would flow. And we need that sense of that when we are in the presence, it's not because Peter is praying any prayer while he's walking, it's because he's been in prayer. It's because he's a living prayer. And that's what God wants out of all of us. That we don't care about the credit, but that we are so bathed in the presence of God that we touch someone and we may not even know it in that moment. But later on, we find out something happened. And that's where the Lord wants to take us. To be like Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John are just on their way to prayer and they finally notice, that they stop and notice this lame man who's been there all this time. And on that day, it was different. The Spirit stopped them. And Peter took a tremendous leap of faith by grabbing the man before he knew if he was going to walk or not, pulls him up, and commands him to walk in the name of Jesus. There is something powerful when we are people of the presence that has the opportunity on the street, not in a church service, but us out in the city hearing God speak, and something special happens. His powerful manifested presence here, where we can be in a normal conversation and the Spirit can break in and something spectacular can happen. A word that is just spoken and all of a sudden it breathes life into someone. A prayer that you just breathe into someone's life and all of a sudden something is just absolutely powerful and possible. When we are missional, we are people of the presence and anything can happen. We are the spiritual house of God being built in Columbia Heights, a place, a people where the Spirit can touch others in a beautiful way. And that's what He's doing, and that's what I want us prepared for as we move into a new phase. We need our lives so activated, so aware of what is possible through the Spirit at any particular point in time, that we can respond out of the presence of Jesus, just who we are in Christ. And again, we may not know in that moment. Now, it drives our egos crazy, okay? Because we want credit and we want to know. I get that, okay? But we're going to have to set all of that aside and just simply say, Lord, whatever you want to do through me today, let me be that vessel that radiates the presence and the glory of Jesus Christ. And you never know. It could be years later that someone could come and say, I remember when you were in my store, and that day I was down and you came in and something changed in my life. And you may not have known in that moment, but if we will simply be the people of God carrying His presence into this community, we're going to see something spectacular happen, and the great house of God will be built. I want to give you 7 words I think the Lord gave me the other day about raising up and being a Daniel generation. And it came out of just listening to a text out of Daniel 11, where it talks about how the enemy will come against the people of God and wear them down. And the word to Daniel was that the people who know their God. Let me look it up here. Daniel 11:38. Let's just look that up real quick. And this is the place that really spoke. The Lord began to talk to me. Daniel 11:32. Daniel 11:32. This is what the enemy will do. The enemy. Will seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant. And then the word of the Lord is this, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. And I heard that text, and it was in a message I was listening to, and as I heard it, all of a sudden the Lord began to just kind of set aside what I was listening to, and it's like, these are the things that you guys are... that you have to deal with as a Daniel generation. And the first thing is this. We will go through fire. We will go through fire. Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was a test of allegiance. It was a test of allegiance. Will they bow to the God that Nebuchadnezzar tells them to bow to, or will they bow to Yahweh? Now, we know the upside of that story. They made it through. But they still got tossed in the fire. Just because you make it through the fire doesn't mean you won't feel the heat of the fire. And a Daniel generation will go through a fire because allegiances will be tested. Who you serve will get tested. And the second thing is just like it, we may face the lions, just as Daniel had to make a choice. In Daniel chapter 6 with Darius, different empire, different king, same problem, massive ego. And it's easy to fool an emperor who thinks he's the most powerful person in the world into thinking everybody should be worshiping him. And Daniel kept doing what Daniel knew to do, which was worship God. But he got thrown to the lions as a result of it. We may face the lions. But there are some other things that we need to realize as well as a Daniel generation. The third thing is this. We will discern the times. We will discern the times. Friends, it is imperative as American Christians that we quit reacting to the times and we start discerning the times. We are so reactionary right now, we don't know how to act. And everything's an argument with us. And we have got to get to the point where we can see what is happening before it happens, which is what Daniel was able to do. So that no matter what came at him, he was fully confident that the Lord was going to show him what needed to be done and what needed to be said. We, as this particular generation in the American church, what we can do to lead the American church through this time is to understand we can discern what's going on. We can see it. And the Spirit can tell us. But that means we have to be people of the presence. We have to be so immersed in who Jesus is and who He is in us and who we are in Him that there is just simply nothing that is going to shake us. I got into several weeks ago after the Supreme Court decision on gay marriage, got in a discussion with some other folks on Facebook, and I was just stating, I was like, here are the next steps. Here are the next things that are going to happen. Okay? And we were talking back and forth, and someone said, well, you know, you don't have to be, you know, why do you sound so dreadful and so frightened? I said, I'm not dreadful and I'm not frightened. I'm just telling you what's going to happen, you know? And you know, I have no fear of this. I just know who I am in Christ. So it won't bother me. Well, it will bother me, but it won't bother me. But it will bother me. But it won't bother me. Our allegiances will be tested. And we can discern that, but we do not need to fear it. Do you get what I'm saying? Somebody. Amen? Or oh me. Or oh no. Or oh God, help us. Send me to Liberia. Friends, we have to understand we are called to discern the times. Fourth thing is this, we are called to bless our enemies. We are called to bless our enemies. We're really good at ripping them apart. We're really good at cursing other people. But the people of God are called to be different. They are called to bless. What is opening up doors for us in Columbia Heights is that we don't curse the public school system. We bless the public school system. We may not agree with everything, but when we bless, it opens up a whole lot more doors. And where we can begin to operate at a new level of the Spirit that we just haven't had before. It's when we will decide some things. The Lord has been able to open up some doors for us where if you got on a philosophical discussion or a political discussion with someone who is a leader, whether it's in the city or in the state or U.S. government, and you just went on that, you beat each other's throats. But the Lord has opened up some significant doors for us because we have decided to bless first and then have the conversation. And the conversations are still tough, but the doors are more open. And we need to realize, this is Sermon on the Mount stuff. Jesus said, big deal if you love those who will love you back. So what? The worst pagan among you can do that. But the kingdom of God is about those who want you marginalized because of your belief. If you can bless them, now you're on to something. That's the kingdom of God. And that's the challenge. But that's the Daniel generation that we're in. The fifth thing is very, very hard. We will not be loved generally by this culture. That'll drive us crazy. They hurt my feelings. We hate that. But when it comes down to the very core of who we are in Christ, and it comes up against the allegiances that are being built in this country, there will be severe disagreement, and we will not be loved. Daniel wasn't loved by his culture. Daniel was despised by the culture he found himself in. Daniel was despised so much that there were always opportunities that someone was trying to take him out. Esther, same thing. Someone trying to take her people out. You will not always be loved by this culture. But that's what we have to get a hold of. The God who loves us. And that God who comes to us with a love that will never let us go. When we are completely grounded in that, we will find that we will not be loved generally by this culture, and it will not affect us nearly as much. The sixth thing is this that the Lord gave me. We must find our depth in God through fasting, prayer, and the Word. Whenever Esther needed it, when Esther came up with the threat, she called people to a fast. When Daniel needed an answer, he went to a fast. We need a depth of walking with God that keeps us centered on the basics. That there are times where the Lord may call us to something a little more radical like fasting, but always centered on prayer and the Word. And then the seventh thing is this, which comes out of this verse in Daniel chapter 11. Know God, stand firm, take action. Know God, stand firm, take action. When we will understand who we are out of the depths of being in the presence of God, it won't matter what's coming at us anymore. It won't bother us nearly as much. And we will find a place and an anointing and the presence of God that is so sweet and so powerful that it will override what this culture thinks of us. We have to get over that. And we're in that spot. That Daniel generation spot. And if we will discern that sooner rather than later, we'll be ready. And we'll be blessing this culture. We'll be blessing this city. And God will build His great house. Praise the Lord. Let's pray.